This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Hey guys, welcome to Dynamic Banter. Hey guys, Okay, so here's what I wanted to say before we started on the podcast. I love it when crazy people, after they say something insane, go, "You understand me?" It's one of my favorite things.
Well, to be fair, you gotta. You gotta make sure.
Well, this key opens up that love box. Understand me?
Obviously not, sir. I feel like I'm super high. Do you want to turn me down a little bit?
I'll give you a down.
Thank you so much.
I've been walking around all day. I'm just tapping my feet down on that cement. You understand me?
I feel like one within my family was, "Do you hear me? Do you hear what I said?"
Yeah. Do you hear me is a good one. Yeah. Do you hear me is a normal one.
Me and Zoya were talking today about how our mothers didn't really need to tell us things twice. My dad and I would yell at each other and over and over again, same arguments over and over again forever, back and forth forever. And then if my mom yelled...
Back and Forth Forever was my favorite teen novel about the fourth grade.
Who couldn't pass fourth grade?
Yeah, back and forth. And it's the number four. T-H. Forever.
And the sequel, Two and Fourth.
High Five was the sequel.
When he was stoned throughout the fifth grade.
Yeah.
And the sequel to that, Back in Sixth Forever. At our time with the even numbers.
You just mean that you would listen to your family.
If my mom raised her voice, it was over. I was done doing anything I even planned on doing.
The day is done.
I'm done. It's dusk.
So did you learn that pretty quickly?
Yeah.
Or did it take a while? Were you like...
I don't know what my mom did because she's very soft-spoken, but it was just very apparent that I knew that I didn't fuck with my mom at all. And I knew that my dad eventually, for whatever reason, was the one that I could go back and forth with a little bit. I never won anything. Just the arguments would be longer because I would talk back. But I knew that I couldn't talk back to my mom. I think it's because she slapped the shit out of me. I think that's it. My dad never wanted to hit me ever. So my mom would be like, "All right."
Well, one of us has to. Yeah.
And then that was a rare occurrence.
Thank
goodness, humble brag.
I actually was a real piece of shit as a kid.
Is that right?
Yeah, man. I was real shit. I deserved everything terrible that happened as a result of my parents' choices.
What made you think you could do whatever you wanted? What gives you the right?
Did my mom put you up to this?
I've got a couple things I want to tell you, and I want to hold your ear while I'm saying them.
I don't know, man. I was a weird kid. And that sounds a little bit like an excuse, I guess, but I'm a neurotic person, and I've been neurotic since I was a kid. I had the symptoms of like anxiety as like a young kid.
I feel like, and I'm sorry if this comes off as disrespectful, in 1993, anxiety didn't exist.
Well, that's like the people that say like the peanut allergy didn't exist in the 1800s or something like that. It existed. It's just that when you died from eating peanuts, you could die of so many different things.
They were just like, his heart did it to him. Yeah, yeah.
There's no way it was peanuts.
Everybody loves peanuts.
It was the fourth snake bite that got him.
Yeah, they're standing around his body eating peanuts. I'm like, well, it couldn't have been.
Well, little Roger got a railroad spike through his ankle, and he was back on his feet out in the farm about 2 weeks later.
I know that kid. That kid's a strong boy.
It couldn't have been the goddamn peanuts he shovels in his mouth.
The peanuts got little Roger.
The peanuts got Roger at the end of the day.
Oh, God.
Yeah, man. I mean, yeah, it's totally one of the. I mean, it's a good, funny joke to say anxiety didn't exist before 1993.
Yeah.
But, unfortunately, the signs are all there, even in pop culture and in politics and such.
I just feel like I would have been diagnosed with something if I knew.
Well, they didn't really know. Uh-huh. They didn't know. And in the 90s, even like a little bit more. But I remember as a kid, you know, mental illness is only recently something that you can like talk about openly and have someone think that you're an insane person.
I forgot about all the shame in the 90s.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of shame.
Unabashed shame in the 90s.
On top of, because in the 90s, yeah, man, if you were like on Prozac, you were an insane person that you could not be around.
Oh, you gotta take your crazy pills? We can't hang out anymore.
I remember, yeah, exactly. I remember my brother's friend had a mom who was like kind of, they would talk about how she was crazy. And like, ooh, the other parents don't want to hang out with her.
Yeah, she was just divorced.
Yeah, she was just divorced.
Like medieval.
She had a cleft palate.
She must be a witch. They thought she was a witch because she had like an eye twitch or something like that.
But they were like, sometimes she would just start crying. And man, that's an insane person.
Jesus Christ.
And it's like, yeah, man, the 90s were a harsh time for mental illness, and even before that. And even now, it's still kind of a harsh thing.
Now you can just cry if you want.
Now you can cry if you want. Well, it's funny because you don't learn until you're an adult, or at least an older, young person, that crying is, like, totally fine.
Yeah.
Like, you know.
It's encouraged.
It's encouraged, yeah. Yeah, man, I remember just being a kid that was like really like not okay. Uh-huh. Like just neurotic and scared of too many things and, a product of sort of a coddled household, a locked shut household.
You have a helicopter boy?
I was one of those helicopter boys. Yeah. Yeah. The fear of crossing the street, like getting on my bike was like, those training wheels aren't coming off.
Yeah. They're just here. That's fine.
That's
They're
for
here.
You, and you'll not learn how to ride a normal bike, and your friends will make fun of you for having the training wheels
because you're
as
37.
A 12-year-old boy. But yeah, no, a lot of, I mean, you know, just, we also didn't grow up in a great neighborhood, man. We really didn't. There were gangs and drug dealers and all sorts of terrible shit, literally on the block I lived on.
Yeah.
And so I understand the kind of fear of keeping. I mean, and really, it's funny that my brother and I even turn out the way we did in that town, because that town creates so many of a certain type of young person.
Yeah.
The type of person that grows up to be the manager of the Dairy Queen, basically. Like.
Yeah, but those people make bank.
Well, sure, but I'm not like shitting on the manager of the Dairy Queen if that's what you want to be, but it's
unless
really,
you don't care about your
it's
job.
It's one of those things where they fucked up so bad in their life. Mm-hmm. They got tattoos all over their faces, so you could only be the Dairy Queen manager. You couldn't go off and make your dreams come true.
You could be a
SoundCloud
rapper.
You could be a SoundCloud rapper. You can get your mixtape out there.
if you
but
want.
But yeah, man, it's interesting that my brother and I are a product of that strange town. But anyway, the treatment that I received as a child for being a piece of shit was the reason why I say I deserve it is because I was a piece of shit. But on top of that, I was like going through some weird shit.
Yeah.
And dealing with genetic neurological trash garbage that I would hand down to another child if I had a kid.
Uh-huh.
For sure, just scientifically, I would, I deserved a lot of it, but a lot of it was just like I was a weird fucking kid, man. Yeah, so I wasn't as respectful to my parents as you say you were, because I really was. It really was one of those things where like I just didn't understand life, really.
Yeah, I was. No, I feel you, man. I would fuck up stuff because I wouldn't want to do the things. You know what is very interesting? This is very stupid. This is a very stupid thing to say.
To say is interesting?
Yes. But we're both very much just grown up versions of what we were.
Yeah, and that's everybody.
Yeah.
That's literally everybody.
Because my thing was, I would get in trouble a lot in school because if I didn't want to do something and I had no interest in it, I would do poorly in it. But if I had genuine...
Just to be a dick.
Well, not to be a dick, but it's like I was just like, I disconnected myself from it and I have these weird gaps in my head. My mom got me tested once.
Oh man, I got that. I got tested.
So you go to this office that's always like very dimly lit and also very nice, and all the toys are made out of wood.
And they're all exact shapes.
Yeah.
None of them none of them are strange or unique at all. Yeah. They're all the same.
And that guy, who has the softest hands, by the way, you go into his office and he gives you a bunch of things to do. This was my experience. And there was like math, and then there was, I don't know, maybe like a problem solving, like a word problem solving thing.
Sure.
And then math equations. And then
there would be visual things.
And then
there were
visual things like cards. And then he would be like, what's going on in this picture? Or he would shuffle a deck and be like, how does this picture and this picture coincide?
Dude, the what is going on in this picture is such a vivid memory for me.
Because it was just a Polaroid of him doing something weird.
It was a Polaroid of him cooking raw meat.
With his wiener around. why don't you tell me what's going on?
His wiener had an oven mitt on it and he's just pulling cupcakes out of the oven. What do you think's going on here?
Why don't you tell me a little story?
Well, I'll tell you what I think's going on.
I'll tell you that I got my mom on speed dial on the oldest cell phone.
If I tell you what I think's going on, will you tell me what's actually going on?
How about we call the cops on three and we both tell them what's going on?
Let's call a spade a spade and just... we'll both... we'll ask the cops what's going on. Oh, that's so funny. Today's sponsor is Blue Apron. dude, yeah, no, I remember that. I remember those pictures.
That was just a bit.
Yeah. That's it. Dude, I remember those pictures because there would be like a teenager taking out the trash.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there'd be like,
when his dad's on the couch crying or something.
No, it's literally just like a young kid taking out the trash.
Yeah, yeah.
And the doctor would be like,
what's going on?
Do you think this kid is happy? Yeah, what's going on 100%. Here?
100%. Yeah, or it's just like, it's like three guys fishing on a rock.
Yeah.
Like, tell me, who are these people? One's a rock salesman. So the thing was,
this guy is on a driving around. This guy's driving on a mountain. And as he turns the corner, two thoughts go into his mind. Give me one of those thoughts.
But keep the other one a secret.
Tell the other one to my puppet over here on the left hand.
Save me secrets.
Sammy Secrets.
Puppet.
I love puppet. Sammy Secrets.
So
tell me all your secrets.
Sammy won't tell. Sammy has stringy hair.
Sammy keeps secrets in his tummy. No one can get those out.
Sammy's gonna poop your secrets and flush them away.
Don't you like
Hey, Billy, don't you like cookies?
Yeah, I like cookies.
Well, I like secrets. And what do you say? What do you say?
Conversely, I like secrets.
What do you say? Oh, look at all these cookies I have. What do you say? I'll give you a cookie.
You'll give me a secret.
Dude, I don't like how manipulative Sammy is. Sammy should be sitting on the couch. So what would happen was I would do all the math, right? And I would nail like certain times tables.
Sure.
And then there would be a gap where I didn't know anything.
Yeah.
And then shit would get really hard. And then I would get that. And it baffled everybody.
Whoa. So you would like figure out incredibly difficult equations and also incredibly simple ones.
Yes. But normally not the ones that required the most work. And it was very weird.
So
and
it was
I almost
kind of
failed
like
out
into-
of college because of it. But then when it got to all the story stuff, they told my parents like he's off the charts. He's like borderline genius when it comes to this other shit.
That's great.
So they were like, oh, so we just gotta fucking
I feel like if you're going to have a kid, you're going to roll the goddamn dice on a lot of shit.
Sure.
And
it could be ugly, for example.
It could be ugly, and God bless you if it is. but, like, there are very few people that are, like, good at everything. And I don't, I would dare to say it's impossible any one person can be good at everything.
Yeah.
But there has to be
everyone's
balance.
Got a pie.
Yeah, there has to be a balance of like, you're super good at reading, but you're terrible at math.
Dude, best guitar player, songwriter I've ever known in my entire life.
Jimi Hendrix?
No, I'm not going to say his name because of the next part. It smells very bad.
Oh.
So right, we always say that he has a pie. Right? And you can't be this good at guitar and like a good friend.
Right.
And not smell.
Right.
Because there's just not enough space.
Dude, isn't it funny that like what you're saying is a really funny joke?
Thank you.
But it's also like an interesting psychological concept, mm-hmm. which is like, and this isn't fucking.
This isn't psychological concepts.
This
over
isn't
here.
This isn't fun psychological concepts. The podcast. This is just me saying that, like, man, you really do get to an age where the people you love the most in your life, everyone has something, man. Everyone has something.
I thought you were going to say take you to a doctor to figure out
take
if you're
you to a doctor to figure out if you're all right. No, everyone's got something. Like I have friends that are like, man, their senses of humor are so great and so perfect, but they also have like zero empathy and it's very hard to like connect with someone
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, of course.
And
one's perfect.
Yeah, and you just have to be like, well, when I am having a very empathetic situation, mm-hmm. and I really need someone to like to sit with me and really sit with this story, that I'm not going to call that person.
Right.
I'm going to call the one person who's super empathetic, but that person's not funny.
Which
so I'm going to get jokes from the guy who's not empathetic.
So I got to tell two halves of the story.
Right.
No, I know what you're saying, but that's why maybe it's a selfish reason to act like the best. The closest thing that you would think is a good person, so you could have a Rolodex of people who you're like, I love that person dearly, but maybe I'm not going to go to them with this. I have to go to this person with this. And hopefully, like, another thing as you get older, like, your circle gets tighter and tighter.
Yes.
Like, I'm very much like, I got my friends, and if they drop off, like, I just got less friends.
Yeah.
Because all that has meant in my past, unfortunately, I was thinking about this the other day. Anytime I've done good professionally, I've been like very focused. And that's when they talk about like the, I'm losing the word, but the, when you make like concessions in your, the sacrifice
right.
part of like all the comedy and entertainment stuff. It's like, it's so hard to get jobs sometimes and what you have to, the things the hoops you have to jump through to get stuff made and whatever. It doesn't leave much time for anything else.
No.
But in the same, you know, it's like, how do you balance that and having enough friends to just be a human being and to need friends?
Well, I think that the opposite side of that is that you might happen to be the friend that is really funny and empathetic, but is like not really around enough to fulfill the need of having a friend.
Because you're also the successful friend.
Right. Or what have you. Or you're the one hustling the most.
Yeah.
But it's really, to put it in a more empathetic way. but.
If I may be.
But it really is one of those things where it's like, you kind of have to assemble a super, like at one point you realize how important friends are. And then you start to assemble your super group of friends, the ones that can, like, I can count on this one for this, I can count on this one for that. And I think that, like, it's hard to see yourself in which way you're not fulfilling the needs of your friends.
Uh-huh.
But I think in one way I can agree on the time one. Like, I'm a very bad person when it comes to, I'm a bad friend.
You're a bad friend all the time.
I'm a bad friend, but even more so when I need, when, I mean, I'm there when you need me. If you're not okay, if you need me, I am there. But it's like making plans with me and like getting texts back from me. I suck at that. I really do, because it's one of those things where I'll pick up my phone, I'll see like 8 texts, or sometimes 2. You know, I'm not trying to brag that I get a bunch of texts or whatever. Or sometimes 1.
We were about to get a bunch of letters.
But I, you know, sometimes I'll see texts and I'll go like, oh shit, that's my good friend blank. And then I look at the text and it just says something very general, like what's going on next week? And I'll just be like, huh. And I'll put it back in my pocket and just kind of like forget about it.
Uh-huh.
And that's just kind of like, I'm sure this is a normal thing
so
everyone
unless there's
goes
like
through.
A call to action, don't text Steve.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's like, I don't.
Steve, we need milk and we need it now.
Let's not call Steve. And that's the thing. It's like, I am perfectly fine with being the one that is not called when plans need to be made that aren't immediate.
Uh-huh.
But I am known to be a very loyal person and caring and things like that. So, you know what I mean? Like, I know what some of my faults are. I'd rather not know the rest of them, to be honest.
Are you just leading up to going down the list of my faults?
Yeah, if we can begin, because I have a note here. I have a bunch of notes that I'd like to go through.
Do you have a list that you compiled from everyone we speak to mutually?
Yeah, they couldn't face you, so I'm going to read off there. So I'm going to use at Elliot Morgan said, no, but it's really one of those things where it's like, you do, and the same can be said in a relationship, even more so in a relationship. There's the different stages of being in a relationship where you're like, wow, someone likes me. I can't believe it. Or maybe you're just like, oh shit, I get to go on a date with this person, or I've been wanting to see this person for a while, or whatever. And then you go through all those stages of, like, you know, the honeymoon period. Yeah. And then
can I add
stuff.
A couple stages?
Go ahead.
There's the one where you don't know what the other person's doing and you wonder. And then you get to a stage where you know exactly what the other person's doing.
Wait, can I add some stages to that?
Yeah, of course.
There's some stages where you don't know what the other person's doing and you want to know.
Yeah.
But you're too afraid to text to ask what they're doing.
Yeah.
Or you're afraid that you're being too naggy or something.
Yeah.
Or that you're overstepping your boundaries even asking what they're doing.
And then there's another one where you know exactly what they're doing, but you're too afraid to ask.
Because you don't want the answer. And then there's the one where you don't get texts at all. And that's when you need to go ask a doctor if you could tell him what's going on in the pictures he has.
That leads to pictures.
Stanley Secrets is here.
Stanley Secrets. Dude, I had a girlfriend in high school.
Named Stanley Secrets?
Named Stanley Steamer Secrets. And she didn't text me back for like months. And I just didn't, because she was like, she went to a different place.
Yeah.
And she was older and she wasn't in
Did
my
you
group
like her
of friends
quite a bit?
At all. Yeah, for an extended period of time. And
so it hurt even more that she wasn't texting.
Yeah, because she had like a car and shit, and I didn't have a car. So if we,
she
if
could
she
take you
to
Wiener
Schnitzel, me, we could live there.
Yeah, you could drive to a hotel and think about what it'd be like to be able to be old enough to get a room.
We could drive to a hotel, see if there were any cool ice cream places around the hotel. Go get ice cream and go home before our parents were upset.
And you could drive around and find the darkest corner of the back of the hotel and get a hand job.
But those happen at the beach. So what happened was, my dad listens. What happened was, eventually, it's like you need to face this weird, it's like you, I remember hurting every day and being like, well, I can't tell my friends about my girlfriend because it's weird. I haven't talked to her in like months, and this is the relationship that I'm in. They just know that I have a girlfriend. They ask about her all the time. And I can't be like, I haven't talked to her. She might be dead. I have no idea.
So wait, you're saying...
So eventually, I'm saying if the hard part is eventually, especially when you're the one who feels like the lucky one in the relationship, to be like, I'm like hurt all the time and I don't want to be hurt anymore. And I know that not being together is going to suck, but not any worse than like hurting every day.
Yeah. It's and, almost the same.
Yeah.
Except one welcomes growth and change, and the other is you're stuck in a weird limbo.
Yeah, but so that first long-term girlfriend, I remember not knowing, like, when I'm in a relationship, I just can't really picture anything else meaning anything.
Right.
You know? So it's tough when you, like, really like that person, you feel lucky to be with that person, and then it's like definitely not going to happen. And then you're like, oh, I got to be the one to end this and put myself into this place where I don't think anything is worth anything.
Right.
That's weird.
Hold on. We need to take a step back here really quick.
Okay.
Get up for it. Will you get up? You were with a girl. A girl was your girlfriend. And one day she just leaves?
She lived in... Hold on. Excuse me. She lived enough towns away to, like, she lived, like, 40 minutes away.
Okay.
So she was always kind of not.
But she was your girlfriend.
Yeah.
And then one day she just said, I have to leave or something?
No, we would just be done with the date, and then I would, like, text her on our Nokia phones, and then just wouldn't get a text back for, like, weeks. And then I would be like, it's my birthday in a couple weeks. Are we going to, like, talk? And then I would get a text on my birthday. Happy birthday, babe. And then I would be like, well, she said babe.
Wow, that's insane.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, and wait,
dude, I can point to so
moved...
many moments that have changed me
but
to
wait.
Be. I snapped so many times. You know, Drake talks about flipping switches.
Yeah.
I've picture like a fuse box.
Okay.
That's what I've done at several points in my life.
Hold on. I'm not done here, Mike. Mm-hmm. This girl moved away?
No, she always lived.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, so she just never... Like,
she was like a long-distance girlfriend, but it was 40 minutes away.
She could still be your girlfriend right now.
We might still be together.
She might think you guys are together.
So. You know what? I would keep this joke going if I didn't remember how vividly
our breakup
was.
Okay, so you had to break up.
Oh, yeah.
Because you were like, I can't. So,
I think she's the type of person who would keep a lot of people on the hook, as many people on the hook as she could for a long of a time.
Oh, so this was a calculated move.
I think it was like a. Yeah.
So she probably was seeing other people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I made her tell me like years.
What the deal was.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, why did you do that? We're adults now. And I was like, this person and this person, like names that I remember. I was like, you were cheating on me, right? She's like, yeah. I was like, God, and it goes back to what we were saying before. You just don't want to think that you're out of your mind.
Right.
When you think things with your, and you feel them with your heart, you want to be like, okay, I want to be justified in feeling this with my heart. Because if there's no truth to this, I have to go read picture cards.
I have to go talk to Stanley Secrets.
Yeah. I don't want to talk to the puppet again. I spent enough time talking to the puppet.
Yeah,
but
man.
What you
super relatable.
Anyway,
stuff.
To not leave that whole story on a weird note, what happens with that, if any of you are in an even close to situation or just a weird situation, what happens with that is like you start to establish your convictions and what's going to make you an adult.
Right.
And you say, when I get another girlfriend, when your confidence gets back from being totally knocked down, you say, when I get another girlfriend, she's absolutely, he or she is never going to do this, this, and that. And as soon as I see that happening, mout.
Mout.
Mout. So you...
you should make a shirt that says that.
No, that's too mout. Close to everything that Chris D'Elia says.
That's true.
He just adds a little M. That's what I felt, so I said it. But that's what happens. And then this person hurts you, or your friend stabs you in the back and say, well, I'm never going to have a friend who does that again.
Was it, would you have rather not known for sure if she was cheating on you and stuff, or did it help to know eventually?
As I was old, I wish I knew back in the day.
Did it help you at all to know the truth later, or did it not? It was just something you were curious
about. I think I always knew. It was fun to hear it from her. But I don't think it went beyond, like, I don't think it was, it didn't matter.
Is she unhappy now? Does she have, like, is she a sad person?
I like to think that everyone I've ever dated is much happier now.
Yeah. Even that's the ones that really fucked you right up?
There weren't too many, not too many people fucked me up. I think any fucking up, I think, was mutual. Mm. I don't think I was ever I've fucked around with people, too.
I mean, yeah, nobody's perfect, like we said earlier.
I didn't talk to one girl for 6 months. What if I turned around and did the exact same thing to someone? Not learning at all.
She texted me and I just didn't answer.
I said yes to our first date and then I called her up on my birthday 5 years later.
This has been...
oh, no.
The sponsor really quick.
Okay. What a weird episode. Why are we talking about any of this shit?
Because it's fun, man. Because this podcast has zero direction. And sometimes it goes here.
I got to tell you, I'm just so happy not to have a string in my wiener anymore. Is there any other podcast like this? Exactly like this?
No, no way. If there is, I'm going to be real sad.
This is like every poker video game.
Press start to waste all your money.
Do you want
to
buy it? You're a big blind. Any up?
You going to fold?
There's never a voice. We just have to describe.
You're gonna fold, huh?
You want to play poker?
Press start to unload your bank account into our greedy ass banks.
You want to buy a sweatshirt? Give us 40 real dollars. We'll give you 600 klepto coins.
Guys, today's episode of Dynamic Banter is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron just delivers farm-fresh ingredients and step-by-step recipes to your door, and their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to anyone. Blue Apron offers three plans. There's a two-person meal plan, which is obviously meals for two people. You can choose from 8 new recipes per week with the choice to receive either 2 or 3 recipes any week. There's also a family meal plan. Meals that serve 4 people. There's also a wine plan, guys. You can get 6 bottles of wine from renowned winemakers delivered monthly. And I'll tell you what, guys. Mike and I have both had Blue Apron. Very delicious stuff. I'm going to be honest with you guys. It's been a while since I've gotten it, though. Because I feel like the email where it's like, here's the thing to get Blue Apron.
I haven't gotten that one
in a while.
That's just an email away. We need to buzz the hive a little bit.
We do need to buzz the hive. You're right. But guys, when we did, when I have had a Blue Apron meal, they're always delicious. They're always very easy to make. I'm not a cooksman, but I'll tell you what, I did it. I did it good. I did it nice. I used to make meals for my roommate Owen and I.
They make you feel like a cook.
They make you feel like a chef boyardee.
And then eventually it's done. You're like, where did this come from? And then you look down at your hands and you say, oh, my hands.
Guys, how about we listen to some of these Blue Apron monthly recipes? How about, hey, you have a great for grilling honey chipotle glazed chicken with poblano and lime rice. Or how about Chrissy Teigen's chipotle lime chicken fajitas with sautéed mushrooms and sweet peppers? Chrissy Teigen licked cheese out of my beard at a Taco Bell headquarters party. How about a customer favorite sweet chili beef and vegetable stir fry with garlic rice? Or a barbecue vegetable flatbread with Swiss cheese? It looks absolutely delicious.
My favorite Greek god.
Make sure you use a tzatziki sauce. Guys, check out this week's menu and get your first three meals for free at blueapron.com/banter. That's blueapron.com/banter to get your first three meals free. You're going to want them. It's going to taste good. It's going to taste great. Impress your family. Impress your friends. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. That sounded like... Mike, this week is Comic-Con.
Uh-huh.
And man, oh man, oh boy, oh man, I love Comic-Con.
Yeah, you do.
And I've been going since the year 2001.
Mm-hmm.
I went because there was a television program called Mr. Show with Bob and David, and they were doing a panel at Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And I found out this information, and I was like, I must go to this. And I had gone to a few L.A. conventions and gone to some of those shows like Frank and Sons and things like that.
Kamikaze.
Kamikaze wasn't around then, but things like that.
Frank and Son is considered a convention thing?
I mean, I wouldn't say specifically.
Nerdy flea market?
It's. I mean, yeah, it's like a nerdy flea market, which is basically what any con exhibitor floor is.
Hot take.
But yeah, man. And I went to see Bob and David, and then I was hooked.
Great. It's a fun time, man. I went,
I've never
experienced my first
I've never
one.
Missed a year.
I was just about to grill you on whether or not you've gone all years consecutively since 2001.
You can ask me a question.
Have you been in 2004?
Yeah, I was there.
Huh. Interesting.
But you're new to the Comic-Con world.
Where were you in 2009 around this time?
Likely at Comic-Con.
Huh.
You, what was your first Comic-Con?
2 years ago? Two, three? Actually, it's whenever we were doing all the Skybound stuff at Petco Park. That was my first one, but I didn't go in the exhibit floor. My first ever exhibit floor was with you.
Well,
remember? And you were so horny about it. You
that's
were like,
right.
I need to take you off for your first time.
And we had a great time, remember?
Kind of. I had a fantastic time because the first time I saw the exhibit floor, it wasn't. And that's excuse me to you. And a bless you from me.
To you.
Over to you. The first time I saw the floor, it wasn't with everyone at once. It was like before it opened.
Oh, before it opened, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. The other part is it's tough to deal with. A lot of people. I've never felt crowded outside before.
Yeah, it's a lot. It's not for crowd haters.
No.
Crowd dislikers.
Hey, if you're a hater, I'd sit this one out.
Get out of town. But this is a very exciting time for me, and I've only been working it like the past 5 years, maybe 6 years now. But before that, I had gone as just like a fucking fanboy nerd that wanted to walk around and see cool shit. But yeah, I started working it, and this year is no exception. I'm working again, and it's gonna be fun. But I'm not working too much. I'm doing stuff with Skybound,
uh-huh.
And I'm doing stuff with a bunch of other places. And I want to talk to you about the Taco Bell thing that's going on.
Okay.
But Mike, I was sad because I'd heard this year you weren't going to come to Comic-Con.
I wasn't until 3 days ago.
Until three fucking days ago. Yeah. And now I'm like, I was, first of all, when you texted me that information this morning, I was like, holy shit, I can't wait. I was going to just text you a million things, but I was like, you know what? I'm going to see him tonight. We're recording Dynamic Banter. I'm just going to ask him tonight.
Point blank.
Point blank.
With Bruce Willis.
Point blank.
That's funny for like three different reasons.
Yeah, yeah, it's so good.
Thank you.
But yeah, I and so now I was very curious, and I asked you before the podcast, and I was like, oh fuck, we gotta talk about this. So tell people why you're going to Comic-Con.
I'm gonna moderate the Final Space panel.
That's so fucking cool.
It's gonna be fun. What are you doing?
I'm doing stuff with Skybound and then a few other things here and there. But I don't want to talk about that boring shit. Vague. Because it's just, some of it's just going to be like little Instagrammy things. Did we both just get attacked by something? Because I'm also feeling
how
like
a sneeze.
How much
asbestos is in this building?
We might be sprayed with asbestos currently.
We're trying as best as we can to finish this podcast.
But I, who cares about what the fuck I'm doing? It doesn't matter. This is super cool. I've only moderated one Comic-Con panel before, and it was a Skybound thing with Robert Kirkman and all those guys, and that was really cool. But this is awesome.
Great.
Because this show is fucking huge right now.
It's very good.
And it's a very...
Have you seen it?
I've seen one episode, and I think it's fantastic.
It's real good. It's real good.
Yeah.
It's deep.
But you're friends with Olin Rogers,
yeah,
who's
a
great
time.
Guy who deserves every bit of success he has earned and worked hard for.
The Tennessee Wonder Kid, child, boy.
Which I think is he should work on that.
He's screwing up the nickname right at the end.
He should work on that nickname.
Well, it's a little long.
I don't think that's the problem. But
the Tennessee Williams boy.
But it's a really great show, and it's the first time it's going to Comic-Con, I think, unless they previewed it last year or something. But this is huge, Mike.
I got a bunch of cool spoilers for future stuff if you want to know.
Definitely don't do that. But I'm so excited you're doing this, Mike, because this is a huge deal, dude. Do you realize?
I'm starting to, the more I listen to you, the more I'm kind of getting nervous about it.
Well, I don't want to make you nervous because, well,
I'm
listen.
Just going, in my mind, I'm just going to help my friend out with a thing. And my friend happened to, he scored this huge opportunity with all the talent that he has. But in my mind, I'm just like, he needed a person to do a thing and I'm going to do a thing for my friend.
And you're perfect for it.
You're perfect for it.
You're perfect.
Mm-hmm. We're kissing.
No, you really are perfect for it. And I would like, I just thought about you moderating a panel. It makes me want to be there so bad, but there's no way I'll be able to do it.
I can't get you in either.
I don't think you could. I honestly don't. Because it's, I mean, maybe I could come with you to the green room or something, but I don't think
I have a different colored badge.
I think it's, I don't have a better colored badge. But
I heard Conan's going to walk me around by the hand.
But, you're perfect for this because it's literally just stand up.
Yeah. Well, there are some like prepared questions and thank goodness for that.
That's
because
the easiest part.
I just want to do it justice because I know, especially with shit that people are like real nerdy about.
Yes.
And thank God there's only like one season of this thing.
Because then they'd be like, you don't know anything about the show something. Yeah.
Which would be fine. Just, I want to do, if I was going to it and like waiting outside these halls like people do, I want to just make sure it's worth it for people. And so in my head, I'm like, if there's a funny opportunity, think real hard before you capitalize on it. But for the most part.
Yeah.
Like,
you're not a beginner to panels.
Oh, no.
So, you know, yeah, I mean,
I've done about 50,000 VidCon things.
Right.
And playlist things.
Right. It's one of those things where it's like, when you're asked to do a panel, the first thing you need to like really focus on is that it's not about you. 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 So you have to throw all of your ego out the window.
Yeah. When people try to get their own shit over like that, it makes you unlikable.
It's the worst. Yeah. It's the absolute worst. And, but... So it's very nerve-wracking for me to moderate something because I just, unless it's like close friends and I'm not too concerned about fucking things up, it's very hard for me to moderate. I moderated the Skybound thing, like I said, and I was nervous as shit the whole time and probably fucked up a whole bunch. Not to make you feel like, because, and the point I'm trying to get to is that you're perfect at this type of thing because you have a way of being able to just like bullshit with an audience and it's so funny and so good and seems to come so naturally to you. And really the key to moderating a panel after knowing it's not about you,
it's just bullshitting with rich people,
is quite simply, but more to the point is just being able to organically lead a conversation.
Yeah,
that's it. If you're up there and you sound like a fucking robot, then people will tune out and they'll hate you. Uh-huh. But if you're up there and you're like, I'm here with my pals and I'm just chill and I'm cool, which is what you have on stage, you're going to be totally fine. And that's why you shouldn't be nervous about it.
I just think it's going to be fun. I'm rewatching all of Final Space. I want to be as up to date as I possibly can. And then I don't want to fuck up anyone's name. I always fuck up people's names.
I hate that. That's the most terrifying.
Because I'm not good. Like my brain's not great with that. Short-term memory stuff.
Right.
I
same.
Remember when I fucked up Peter Serafinowicz's name?
Yes.
And I forgot his first name, but I nailed Serafinowicz.
Dreams Parasenefwitz.
What's your name? Dreams. Serafinowicz.
Korean Dreams.
And then he was like, it's Peter. And I was like, course, Peter. Of course.
What's the show called again?
The Tick. with Peter Serafinowicz. Final Space.
Final Space. That's right. I was typing in Open Space, Olin, which is where you're
Olin
paying.
Olin Space.
I just wanted, the reason why I'm pulling it up on IMDb really quick is because I want to kind of go down the list of some of the voice talents that you're going to be in the presence of. Okay. And you're going to make laugh and they're going to love you.
Okay.
I'm sure you already know the cast.
Olin Rogers.
Definitely Olin Rogers, but
Coty Galloway.
Fred Armisen is,
I don't think he's going to be there.
A voice. You don't think he's going to be there?
No, I wish though. I would get nervous.
Tom Kenny.
I don't know if he's going to be
the voice of Hugh.
Okay.
But Tom Kenny is SpongeBob and he's like so many other things.
Uh-huh.
But he's a fucking comedy legend. He's fantastic.
When
he's
you
hilarious.
Said Tom Kenny is SpongeBob, I pictured SpongeBob in the studio doing a voice for a different show. With like headphones on,
like he's doing like the Honey Nut Cheerios commercial.
yeah, the beat.
But he's SpongeBob in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, yeah.
dude, David Tennant, who is Doctor Who,
Indiana Jones.
I was, I wasn't the ninth Doctor. He's the tenth Doctor, I think.
Okay,
I'm gonna get so fucked here, but he's one of the best Doctors from Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. He might be. I mean, if he's there, I'm gonna very much be excited for you. But probably, you're going to make all these talented people laugh. but you know for a fact, Fred Armisen is not going
to
be there?
I'm not going to tell anyone who's there just in case I'm not supposed to.
Oh, shit.
So I don't know who's going to be there.
When is it? When's the panel?
I can't tell you.
You could tell us.
I can't tell you that information. It's Friday at like 3:30, I think.
Okay, so yeah, maybe we shouldn't talk too much about who you know is going to be there and who isn't going to be there.
Yeah, I'm sure all of it's like common. I'm sure you can go look it up right now. But yeah, I'm just going to do it and it's going to be fun and hopefully you could see it somewhere.
I'm so proud of you because this is a huge deal.
Thanks, man.
And it's really one of those things where it's like, it's my wheelhouse. And it's
so
my,
you want to do it?
It's well, no, it's my world. You're like coming into my world of Comic-Con and then also being like a really cool part of it, which is the panel, which is the moderator of a panel. And you're doing it for like a huge series that will have a massive turnout. So this is going to be huge for you. This is very big.
Well, it's not. It's very nice. And that's great. I'm just thankful and excited, but I really see it more as, you know. He asked me to do something, so I'm doing
that's
something.
Cool.
Can I talk about something else that happened?
Yes, of course.
Today? Speaking of like being able to see it and stuff, today was the first time I had like a stand-up thing come out on TV, as it were.
Oh, what? Tell me about it.
There's this app called Pluto TV, which I didn't really know about until I downloaded it.
Is that the one that's not really a channel?
Well, it's...
you get it, because it's not really a planet. Pluto.
So it's an app that you download, and you can get it on Apple TV or PlayStation or Roku or like a bunch of different things like that.
Cool, cool.
And it's like 200 free channels of content. And it's really cool. And there's a couple channels that are just like stand-up or comedy related, like Funny or Die has a channel, IGN has a channel. A bunch of things that you've heard of, but you're like, where are they? They're on this thing. And so today at
Cracked Magazine.
Yeah, that would be like the type of thing.
Cracked Channel or something.
Real good. Like sports, movies, all kinds of things.
Wow.
But at today at 4, I had this thing that I filmed like 2 years ago, the stand-up bit, come out. And it was crazy because I thought there were, when we filmed our episodes, there were like 5 other comics there. And on the episode, it's just me and George Wallace, who's the host. You know who George Wallace is?
Yeah, he's great.
So he's the host. He brought me up. And
no shit.
It was me, Preacher Lawson. Me, Preacher Lawson, and George Wallace is my episode. And it was the first episode of season 6 of Coming to the Stage. And I finally have like kind of a stand-up credit now that's not YouTube related.
Yeah, which is great.
And now I'm a real comedian, and now I have a different price range, and I treat people worse.
And now you have a lot of family problems.
I got to develop a drug sitch.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get on that drug sitch.
No, but it was fucking, it was awesome to see, like, I had to watch something at a scheduled time to see
something.
Yeah,
which never happens anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
Let alone for something you've done.
Yeah.
That's so cool, man.
It was cool. There was a bumper. I freaked out about the bumper. It was like coming up next on this channel.
And it showed you
up
there?
And it said like Preacher Lawson and Mike Falzone on Coming to the Stage.
That's so cool.
And I was like, somebody had to make that. Somebody I don't know in a building had to make
that. And it's not one of your friends that you paid to make it.
Yeah.
Dude, that's so cool. What a day. What a week for you.
Yeah.
You
unfortunately,
deserve this.
I think I'm
you
a lot
it.
Better now than I was then.
Well,
like
that's
a lot
good. That's
by
okay.
leaps and bounds.
I feel like you'll probably always be saying that.
I'm just glad
degree.
It didn't suck. I was worried about it sucking.
Well, I knew that wasn't going to happen.
Well, you're very nice.
This is great, man. I'm so glad that you're having a great week, and this is awesome because things were awful for you for quite a while there, and it made me feel very sad,
yeah.
Health-wise, at least.
There's kind of a new phenomenon happening that I feel like a lot of the people around me, I don't know if I could see it more because of what happened last month, but I feel like there's a lot of people around me who are sad, and I want to make that as much as I can because sometimes you can't do anything,
yeah.
You know? Because sometimes it's just within that person or whatever. But I want to do anything I can to make all of these people around me very happy.
That's awesome, man. This yeah. is, this is yeah. That's...
by telling them about all the good things happening to me.
And showing them pictures of events I've been to. Well, I'm very proud of you, Mike, and I'm very excited. Hopefully, so you're going to be in Comic-Con for a super quick turnaround. You're there Friday, and then
yeah,
you come
I told
back.
Them I'd leave right after the panel. I don't want to overstay my welcome.
Are you? Will we have any time to see each other at all, or do you think you're going to be in
Thursday?
Out?
Thursday, I'm leaving here at like 11,
oh.
And then I'm sleeping. They got me a room.
Oh, great!
They got me, dude. They got me a ride.
Yeah, they're picking you up.
That freaked me out,
dude. That's like celebrity stuff.
I told him in the email, I said, make sure the driver doesn't talk to me.
And you're but let but
I
also
said, only play Whitney Houston and make sure the driver doesn't talk
make sure
to
the
me.
Driver doesn't talk to me, but I need you to know that I will be trying to talk to him.
And I will act very upset about
it. And I will act very upset if he or she answers any questions I ask.
Tell the driver I want to be talking about The Office the entire way down to San Diego.
And tell him to catch up. Tell him to catch up on Handmaid's Tale so we can talk about it. That's so rad, Mike. So then Thursday night we should grab a bite or something.
Let's get a terrible buffalo sandwich somewhere.
Let's get a terrible buffalo sandwich somewhere or, yeah, or whatever. Okay, so let's do a quick history road. How about that?
Okay.
History. History.
Somehow sounded better this time.
It would be so much funnier if I just could keep the laughing under control, but it's such a tiny guitar.
How do they make them so small these days?
Child's hands.
Nancy Garrett sends us a History Road with the subject line, Short History Road, Fucking Wilson, the Volleyball.
Okay.
Dear Mike and Steve, I've been listening to all the DBs again because it's summer and I'm bored and you're funny. Thank you very much. So I've always been a funny...
Dude, we're like the reason people eat sherbet.
Right. So I've always been a funny girl who gets a lot of laughs. Brag. But listening to y'all has definitely honed my sense of humor for the better. I will explain with the story of the funniest thing I've ever said in my entire life, thanks to you guys.
Which joke did you steal?
After work this past weekend, I was getting a beer with coworkers, and we were all shooting the shit and talking about the hot gossip, and this girl starts complaining about a guy named Wilson, who she says, exasperated, fucking Wilson, man. And we laugh, and she says again, fucking Wilson, like shaking her head, you know? And I say, quick as can be, the funniest thing I've ever said in my life. Oh, fucking Wilson is my favorite deleted scene from Castaway.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
Oh, my God.
That's great.
And let me tell you, I got made... Wait, let me tell you, the laugh I got made me feel good inside. Literally for days. I was so proud I told my mom about it.
Hell yeah.
Hopefully you think it's funny because otherwise this would be bad. Have to give credit where credit is due. So thank you for the jokes. You guys make comedy, but you also foster comedy, and that's pretty cool. Thanks for the laughs. Much love, Nancy. P.S. Mike, come to a show in the D.C. area, please.
Come to a show or come do a show?
She wants you to just come see a show.
Come on, dude. Let me
come to a movie theater in D.C. and have a matinee, will you?
Come watch Hamilton in D.C. No better place.
The traveling version.
The community theater version of Hamilton.
It is interesting. Hamilton in the park.
Hamilton on ice.
It is really one of those things, Mike. I think the, like, I think we can trace, I can trace the origins, at least for me, I can trace the origins of the blank blank is my favorite blank. And I think it comes from a variation of the joke that my friend Sam, she told me that her and her brother or her and her friend or whatever, and this was like years and years ago, they used to tell a joke where someone would say like, ugh, this water's dirty. And then her and her brother would be like, oh, I heard water's dirty is opening for NoFX.
Yeah, that's great.
At the Civic Auditorium in insert town here. And she told me that joke years ago. And so I was like, oh, my God. So I can at least trace the kind of blank blank is my favorite blank joke to at least that, and then bringing it here and then us just in adopting it into our lives.
The version of that that I remember doing back in the day was saying that would be a terrible band name.
Oh, yeah, so that's
very
a good one.
Similar to like. I think it's a less...
It's like almost there.
It's like the lazy man's version of what your friend said.
Yeah. But the coolest thing about that joke is that it's the easiest joke that will make you hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
Because all you have to do is wait for someone to say something that would sound like, that's my favorite John Grisham novel, or that's my favorite... Disney Channel original movie,
yeah.
Or just literally think of anything that would be a funny, like, that's my favorite dish at Buca di Beppo.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it has to, the thing that makes it hit really hard is that it has to have some kind of like tangible tie to what you were talking about. Like the person should be like it's a couple words off, but it's kind of there. So
yeah,
you can
right.
see
you can't
why
fake
they
it.
Did
There's
that.
A little work.
And
you're
that's right. That's the talent part of it.
Right. That's
and if
what
you have
right.
that's good stuff.
You're right, because you could very easily just do one that wouldn't be funny.
Like, for example, people send me the like bad furnitures all the time.
Right.
And they're always good because they what they film is always bad furniture, so they got that part of it.
Right, that's the easy part.
But there's a in a 30-second clip, there's a little structure that always happens. It's like you introduce the show and then you introduce the furniture and you make a joke about the furniture and then you close out the show and that's it.
Right.
But a lot of people are just like, look at this couch. This couch sucks.
And it's like,
anyway,
nah, man.
Back to you. Like, you got to make a little joke about it.
Yeah.
And it's just funny to see, like, there are people who do it so well and, like, mimic hand movements that I'll do, or they'll put their own, like, weird stutter into it.
Right,
or,
right.
Or fuck it up.
Put
in
their
some
own
way
unique
that,
spin on
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you can't just like, say
Mike,
words.
Look at this couch. Anyway. I'll talk to you soon. But they're all funny.
Right.
It's just they're not all usable in the same way.
Right. So in other words, sorry, we can't make you funny if you don't have any sort of like small timing, sense of timing at all.
But you'll get it because I was not funny at all.
All right, guys. Well, what a fun episode.
And now
this is
I'm hilarious.
Just keep telling yourself that in the mirror.
Every day until I get a stand-up thing on a channel that people know about.
Right. No one watches TV anymore. Don't worry about it. It's better to be on the internet anyway.
I think you got to be live or you can't. You got to be on Facebook Live or it's
you got to be live or you won't thrive.
You got to be live or you're dead.
Mike, congratulations to you on your current things. And
thanks,
it's always a good time hanging with you in the increasingly dark Valley
Brook
office.
Why is it getting so hot?
We turn the AC off. Any plugs?
On the 21st, which is Saturday, it's the Friends and Friends show, the monthly crowd work show that we do. Elliot's going to be there. Will's going to be there. Will, dude, that kid, I love him
I
so
love
much.
Will, too.
He's going to be there, and he's going to be excited. And I can't wait to do it. That's at the Open Space on Fairfax in West Hollywood, and there are tickets on eventbrite.com. And then Mike in the Morning comes out every Tuesday and Friday. Been having a lot of fun with that. We have new Dynamic Banter t-shirts. And that's all I can think about.
And right. If you're at Comic-Con on Friday and you're listening to this Friday morning and you're like, I don't know what panels to go to, you can see Mike moderate the
Final Space.
Final Space panel.
Oh, you know what else I want to do? I got this from Johnny Cupcakes. Two things. One, I'm now an affiliate for Johnny Cupcakes.
No shit.
So I could like give you a link and tell you about secret sales and stuff like
Wonderful.
That.
Wonderful.
I'll do that for anyone listening Wonderful. To the podcast.
And
just
can I
me
get
and
cupcakes?
You and everyone listening.
Are there actual cupcakes that I can have?
No, that's the one and only question that they get every day. And the answer is always the same.
Yeah.
And it's usually one day a year. And that's
National Cupcake
April Fool's Day. Once in a while, they'll put all the t-shirts away and they'll bring out cupcakes.
That's so funny.
Bit of a gotcha situation. But, stupid tangent.
You have your own, you're an affiliate of?
Oh, no, I want to do a thing where if I could wear a backpack around Comic-Con, I want to take a bunch of Dynamic Banter t-shirts.
Oh, yeah.
And if you come up to me and you ask me for a t-shirt, I'll just give you a t-shirt.
Oh, that's great.
But you only know because you heard it on this podcast.
You should have them say a secret thing to you, like Sammy Secrets or whatever.
Was that the name of the puppet?
Yeah, I think it was.
Oh, you got to come up to me and say, I could read pictures.
There you go. Do that.
Okay. And then I'll give you a t-shirt.
Perfect. I'll also be at Comic-Con. I don't know. Just follow me on Instagram or Twitter at Steve Zergos if you want to see some fun stuff. I'll be doing some live bits and stuff there. And I think I'll be on the Skybound stream a lot, which will be featured on the front page of Twitch, which is really cool.
Oh, shit.
So come check that out. I think I'm playing some games with like Michael Rooker and stuff like that. So that's
okay.
Really cool.
Nice.
But yeah, so, and then as always, the Valley Folk is working very hard to get some stuff out there. And we've got another episode of your show coming up very soon, which is our flagship show that feels like we're all back again and doing fun shit together again, which is what we wanted and what I wanted and then hopefully what you wanted. So if you want to be a part of that, go to patreon.com/thevalleyfolk And become a patron and get all sorts of special perks and stuff. And
you do a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
For your patrons.
Yeah, we do. We have a lot of really fun special things, and you should at least check it out. And if you don't feel like being a patron, that's fine too. But it'd be cool if you could go to youtube.com/thevalleyfolk and check that shit out.
Does it feel like a club?
A little bit, especially since we have merch now, and we have like little band like pins that look like our logo, and it feels very like fan clubby.
Do you have any here?
Yeah, I have a t-shirt if you want one.
I have a t-shirt. I didn't ask about the t-shirt.
Oh, the pins and stuff? Yeah, we ran out of those. People grabbed those pretty quick. But we'll get a bunch more in and we'll give you some.
You know, in Hollywood, it's all about who you know, and I know all of you. I'm gonna get a pin.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. And as always, it'd be great if you could review us on iTunes and give us a good old 5-star rating or whatever rating you think we deserve. But
also,
it's been
review
a while
us on Yelp,
that.
Other people's Yelps.
Suggest us on Yelp. Download Yelp. All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time on Dynamic Banter.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.